Okay, good vach, everybody. It's chus to be back together, to learn Torah together. Before we begin, just to thank Naomi for making sure that we could be together here. Always appreciate it. It should be a big chus for your beautiful mishpacha. As well as to thank Aliza for always getting the word out. It's always special to be together Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, as we mentioned last time we were together. To walk away from Shabbos into Torah, into Chizik, into Zoras, and to start the Yemei Chol with Kedusha, is to elevate everything we do with Kedusha. That's the Avodah, that's what each and every one of us is trying to do. So no more special way than to bring Shabbos into the week. Bring Shabbos into the week by starting our week, by learning Torah together, by growing together. It's definitely something very, very special. You know, this morning in Shul, we were finally Mevarchim Chodesh Adar. And we're all very excited. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. We'll get there in a few moments. I want to start by actually talking about Shvat, the month we're still in the middle of. You know, that itself is a very important lesson. That a lot of times in life, we're constantly looking forward to something special. And I'm looking forward to Purim, and I'm looking forward to Pesach, and I'm looking forward to a birthday, and I'm looking forward to a chasen. It's nice, that's special. But if we could make meaningful and enjoy and look forward to today, life is that much sweeter. To make the most of every day, to elevate every day. So yes, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, we'll talk about that, we'll get there. And we're excited for this very special month. This morning during Rosh Chodesh benching, I don't remember the last time I had such kavanas, because I was thinking back a year ago to Rosh Chodesh benching Chodesh Adar. You know, you daven Rosh Chodesh benching and such a beautiful tefillah. Such a beautiful tefillah of our hopes, of our desires for the upcoming month and what it should be. We really, that tefillah was written, it hits on every point, anything we would ever want. It's really so beautiful. If you happen not to have been in shul this morning, you can say it now also. It's a beautiful tefillah. Say it tonight. Just look at the tefillah. Just to daven the tefillah. And I was thinking back what it was a year ago when we were davening that tefillah. If you think a year ago when we were mevarchin chaydesh adar, and what we were davening for, and we had no idea what was coming our way, because that's, if we remember back 1 year ago, Purim time, and we're Varchim Chodesh Adar before, so it was a few weeks before Purim. And that's when this world we live in was turned upside down. And I davened Mirtz Hashem, you know, it's Mirtz Hashem. Shana, it's a full year. Shana is a full year. And Shana, we once spoke about this, Rosh Hashanah time, some may remember. Shana was also Malashan Shinoi, to change. So whatever this past year was, which was a difficult year, it was a year of Yisurim, a year where Kadosh Baruch Hu had different plans than we had plans, Barabbas Machshavos Blevish. So the year is up. You know, a lot of times we, Rosh Hashanah time, obviously, we daven, it should be a new year and a new beginning, it's Chadshus. Maybe this year was a different length of year. This is Rosh Hashanah also, Adar. Because this year that we went through is over. It's a full year. So Mirtz Hashem, Chodesh is going to bring his Chadshus. You know, I, for one, had big tefillahs this morning for that. And Mirtz Hashem, we're going to see it. We're going to be Zoicha. But Rosh Chodesh Adar is still less than a week away. We're still in Shvat. And I was saying before, it's very important to make the most of now as well, not just to look forward. Then I'm going to be happy. Then I'm going to be successful. Then things are going to be great. Then, when I'm settled, and when I'm married with the amount of kids that I think I want to have, in the house that I dream of having, with the halavai, we should all be zoicha to fulfill our dreams. But we have to make the most of now. We have to enjoy now. So Shvat, we're still in Shvat. We have a few days left of Shvat. And I think there's no coincidence that Shvat is the hachkanah, is the preparation for Adar. Adar clearly is a month full of Simcha. and it's worthwhile looking forward to, but we could simultaneously look forward to Adar and the Simch of Adar by making the most of now. And maybe only if we make the most of now, these next few days, will we appreciate what the Simch of Adar is. So what is Shvat? What Koyach specifically? So have we spoken about before something very deep, something you might know of and remember, that every month has a very special pasuk that connects to that month with its seraph of Shem Havaya. And that pasuk has in it four words where the Rashi tables, the first letters, or the Sofei tables, the last letters, will make up Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke. Not necessarily in order, just to chazer for those who... Pesach is the easiest to understand. Pesach, which is a month of Seder, of order, right? Seder. So that has Yud Kei Vav Kei in order. That was the month of Geula, where Hashem is most revealed. So that's the pasuk of Yismichu Hashemayim V'Sogel Haaretz. Right? Which are Rashi Tevos, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yismichu Hashemayim V'Sogel Haaretz. So every month has its pasuk. That's the only one that has it in order like that. Every other pasuk, there are 12 different ways. Since you have four letters, Yud Kei Vav Kei. But those four letters, one is repeated, hey is repeated. So there are only 12 different ways that you can scramble those four letters because one is repeated. Right? If you know factorial a little bit, so you know 4 factorial would be 24. But being that one letter is repeated, it's only 12. So there are 12 different ways that you could scramble that each of those different ways is connected a different month. So what's the month of Shvat? Because if you look at that pasuk, obviously this is very Kabbalistic and deep, but we'll bring it home, we'll understand it in our way that we can understand. What is the pasuk for Shvat? Because if we understand the pasuk for Shvat, we can understand the depth and what Shvat is all about. This very special month that we're still in the middle of. And it's a very special month. Sometimes you think Shvat gets like put to the side a little bit. I don't even know if Shvat would make our top 10 and there are only 12 months. You know, if you think about it, what does Shvat have? Tu B'Shvat, very nice. Back in the day, elementary school, they gave us some boxer to break our teeth on. Like what? What does Shvat have? But if we understand the depth of Shvat, it's a very special month. And what is the pasuk? It's the pasuk at the end of Bichu Kosai, which talks about Meiser, how we have to give 1/10 of our behemos to the Kohanim. And the pasuk says, Hamer yimirenu v'hoyahu. Hamer starts with Hey, Yimi Reno Yud, V'Hoya Vav, Hu is Hey. So that's the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei. The order here is Hey Yud Vav Hey. What does that mean? Hamer Yimi Reno. What is that? What is Hamer? Hamer is a Tamura. There's a whole Masech Mishnayos about this. What is Tamura? An exchange. That sometimes when you had Karbanos, the Karban would become possible, for example, you'd have to exchange it. You'd make a Tamura. So here it's talking about exchanging Meiser. If you had to go and count your animals, it was a very special procedure, and you went through your animals, and the tenth of all the animals was going to be Meiser. Let's say you go and exchange that animal for another animal. You want to give a different animal in its place. So the pasuk says, Hamer yimirenu v'hayahu utmuraso yakodesh. If you do this, then that exchange, that new animal, is holy. So that's the pasuk somehow that has the Rashi Tevos with Hashem's name and somehow is connecting to this month of Shvat. That's the pasuk. That's what Arizal brings down. Some of us, if we dive in Nisuch Svard, you're a little more familiar with what I'm talking about. Because if you dive in Nisuch Svard in the Rosh Chodesh Tfilos of Musaf, you're actually supposed to say the pasuk. The pasuk is there. Maybe if you recall, you'll pay attention next week. You'll see what I'm talking about. So what is Tamura? What is this exchange of anything to do with Shvat? So I'll tell you what I believe, and it's based on a Torah I saw in a Sefer Das Moshe. And he says something very beautiful. He says, you know, Shvat is the depth of winter. Look at the snow we've had this past week. It's supposed to snow tomorrow again. We'll see what happens. Tomorrow is the depth of winter. And Shvat, we're farthest away from any Yom Tovim. Yom Tov and Deraisa, we haven't had in forever, right? Or Yom Tov and Torah, we haven't had since Simchas Torah, since Shmini Atzeres. It's been a very long time. Midrabanan, we had Chanukah, but that's already. Chanukah is the beginning of Teves. We're already towards the end of Shvat. It's been a very long time. We've had it. On a spiritual level, the days that help lift us up, we haven't had them in so long. On a physical level, the depth of the winter. It's cold, it's dark, everything outside is bare. It's a difficult time. And often that has an effect on our spiritual selves as well. Often that has an effect on who we are. And sadly, it's a time in the year where many fall, and many are not as serious about their avodas Hashem, because we become sluggish. Because that's the way of the world at this time in the year. A little lazy. Not driven as much. I'm looking around, some young women, some Nashim Tzikanios that had schuz till very recently to be zoicha, to be learning in Eretz Yisrael. And this probably hits you even more so. You come back and now you're in Chutz Laretz. You wake up and you find yourself in Woodmere, you find yourself in Teaneck, you find yourself... These are not Mekoymas Kedoshim. Don't forget that. We have Baruch Hashem, we have beautiful Bate Midrashos, and it's beautiful. This is not, like the five towns is not Yerushalayim. It's not even Tel Aviv. Don't ever forget that. So comes Shvat, and Shvat we do celebrate Tu B'Shvat. And what is Tu B'Shvat? Tu B'Shvat, still look around, the trees are still bare. Tu B'Shvat, still... We still are in darkness, we're still in the cold weather, we're still in the midst of the winter. Nothing's growing yet. But things are starting to be exchanged. Things are starting to turn. Deep down in the ground there is change that's happening. The sap's starting to rise up and things are happening in order to prepare for the growth that's going to happen. And if the pasuk of this month is a pasuk of Temura, the Sefer Das Moshe says, means this is a time where we have to and can exchange ourselves. What do I mean exchange ourselves? To think of ourselves as greater. To believe we can be greater. This chair is... To believe that we could be more than we are. Not to be satiated with who we are and who we've become, but say, I could be so much more. I could exchange myself. I could be a Temura. And the pasuk that Temura, Yiyakoydesh, is holy. And believe that I could be. And even if, Baruch Hashem, even if I'm in a good place, can I not be so much more? To never be satiated with who we are. And make a Temura. Now. And that's where Shvat is. Yes, it's true. It's still the winter, but we're preparing. We're getting ready for the spring already. We're closer. We're not at the beginning anymore of the winter. We're towards the end, which is the time when I have to look into myself and say, I'm going to be more. I want to grow. I want to make a Temura, Yakodesh. And to improve and to grow in all the different ways that we want, whether it be in our davening, whether it be in our connection to Shabbos Kodesh, whether it be in our Midos Tovos, whatever way it might be, I can make a Temura. I could be so much more. By the way, it's interesting. I just saw, first of all, the pasuk before. You know how they would count to see what the tenth would be for the truma, for the ma'aser. I'm sorry, it would be tachas hashavet. They take a rod, and the animals would pass under the rod, and the tenth one would be kodesh shavet, milashin shvat. So you see an allusion in the psukim to this talking about Shvat, tachas hashavet. But also it says as follows, if you exchange and you take your meiser to make another one holy, it becomes holy, but the meiser still is holy. It doesn't lose that. Other types of exchange in Karbanos sometimes it does, here it doesn't. The pasuk says, hu utmaraso yekodesh, meaning your first one also is still holy. You know what that's telling us, maybe using this Torah? When we change and we grow, we become more. Don't think who I was 2 months ago was bad. That was part of the growth. That was part of what I had to go through. What does the Rambam say by tshuva? That if you do tshuva gemura, Your zidonos, your averus that you've done even on purpose, nasa kischuyos, become merits. So who utmarasa yekodesh? It's all holy. As long as we're b'derech aliyah, as long as we're looking to grow, as long as I want to exchange myself and be more. That was a lesson. Maybe some of you saw. I think I sent out on our chat the first part of this, but I don't believe I did the second thought I had. You know, when it was snowing, I looked outside. I saw mamish, the whole world white and beautiful. White, we know, is the color of purity, of kedusha, of tahira. Envision Yom Kippur and a kittel, the kain gadol and the big day lavan on Yom Kippur and kodesh kedashim. I thought that was a siman to us. That was a reminder to us during Shvat. That I could be pure, I could be holy, I could be white again. We have to believe that. Even though the world, the day before you looked outside, let's be real, it's dark, it's dirty, the streets, the sidewalk, and suddenly, mamash, everything's white. And that was a chizik to us, who we could become. We could do that also. So came to me a special matan, if you take the gematria for Shelag, it's 333. Which is gematria with the koilo of lashov to return, because sheleg reminds us of the tshuva. That was the initial thought I had. Maybe some of you saw that. But then I had another. The next day, or maybe it was 2 days later, I had another thought. Because then I looked outside, and the snow was already starting to melt. Again, we still have snow outside, but from the streets and from the sidewalks, it's melting. And you see all the filth and all the dark. It was all revealed again. So it was so beautiful that first, you know, that first morning you wake up, basically, what was it, Monday morning maybe, right? And you looked out the window before any of the cars were driving and before people were outside, and it was like unbelievable, gorgeous. Winter wonderland, you know? But then a day or two later, it's like it's dark and filthy again, and the snow itself, like the snow's not even pretty, right? When the snow gets dirty, there's nothing worse. Like, snow is the most beautiful, awesome thing you want, and then like, once you enjoy it for that day or two when it's pretty, then it's like, get out of here. It's just annoying. Anywhere I walk, it has to be all over. So it was gone. It was that quickly. I went, Litahara, gone. Because that also reminds us. There's no quick fix. There's momentary chizik inspiration. We come together tonight to learn Torah. And every word, listen, we're coming together tonight. Every word of Torah is mitzvahs upon mitzvahs. We can't even imagine this chusim we're having just to learn tonight for this on a Matzah Shabbos Kodesh. Just to learn, that itself is an end. To learn Torah is the biggest end. It's Kodesh Kedashim. And then the chizik we get, but maybe it's, we know how it is, let's be real. We've been by Shir before, we've been inspired in it. It wears off at times. Because ultimately that chizik is there for the moment to inspire us to then put in the work and actually change. So that snow which represents Lashuv, it's a momentary chizik to them, but ultimately the change has to come from me. But we know that's hard. To really change is hard. What's my avodah? How do I keep it with me? When I want to change and grow, and what's the foundation of it all? So I want to talk about a Rashi we read earlier today. On the surface, it's puzzling exactly what he's trying to get at. It says by Yisro at the beginning, when Yisro came to be part of Klal Yisrael, because he saw all the miracles, right? Kriyas Yamtzev, Mechamas HaMalek, and the Pasuk says, in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Aleph, after Moshe then told him more, it says, Atu Yadati, Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol Elokim. Now I know that God is greater than all other gods, right? He was Kohen Midrash, He went, and Chazal tells he went and checked out every other religion. He says, no, God's the greatest. Atu Yadati. And Lamaisa, what do you mean, now I know? He knew this already. That's why he came, right? By Yishma Yisro, and he came. Because he knew that. What do you mean? What does it mean now? And Rashi says something very strange. Rashi says, Atu Yadati, Makiro Hayisi Lishavar. I recognized Hashem in the past. Meaning all that he did. He split the sea, 10 makos, defeated Amalek. Ba'achshav biyoser. Now much more. Okay, I mean, you could understand that Pasha Pshat, that he understands more than he did, but what's going on? What's Rashi really trying to tell us? That he understood Hashem before, now ba'achshav biyoser. So I want to share something very special tonight. A little bit of a deeper Torah, but a very special Torah. Matzah Shabbos Kodesh, we can talk deeper Torah. We just went through Shabbos. So we went through Shabbos, our neshama had a neshama yaseir. It's been elevated. Hopefully it's stuck with us somewhat. You know, when we say Hashem's name, anytime we make a bracha, when we're learning, whatever it might be, Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke, what's our mindset supposed to be during that? Obviously Hashem, but Hashem has a lot of names, right? Hashem has Elokim, Kel, Shakai. What's the name? Yudke Vavke. What's our mindset? Because we're supposed to have Kavana. You know, when we daven, we should have Kavana. We should be thinking. Otherwise, it's just Hebrew reading exercises. When I make a bracha, I should have Kavana. It's not just rote, mechanical. I have tea, so I had to make a bracha. It should be with Kavana. It should be with a connection to God. And every word should be with the mindset of what the word means. So what's the word Hashem mean? That's the ultimate, by the way. That's the Iker Kavana. Just understand what the words mean. So what is the word Hashem? So Yudke Vavke means Hashem. It means God, obviously. But which, what specific out of all the names of God? Why Yudke Vavke? Why is it not Baruch Atah Kel? You ever think about Kel, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Baruch Atah Shakai, Baruch Atah Makom is the name of Hashem. Like, why, what is Hashem? What is exactly, what are we supposed to be thinking about? So by the way, this is not a deep Zohar. This is Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch tells us what our Kavanah should be, so hopefully this is just Chazara for us. Shulchan Aruch tells us our Kavanah should be, Yudke Vavke stands for, and is allusion, to Haya, Hoyve, Ve'yiyah. Right, Yud Hey Vav Hey are all the letters of Haya Hoyve V'Yiyah. He was, he is, and he will be. Haya Hoyve V'Yiyah. He was, he is, he will. Meaning what? God was. He did everything in the past. He created everything. Sheishes Mei Bereishis. You see it with Mitzrayim, Matan Torah that we learned this morning. All of the past, Haya, it was him. He created me and you. Yeah, and he's always going to be, and he's going to bring us Mashiach, and there's going to be Geula, and things are going to be good. But also, he's here right now, right this moment. Not just right this moment, because right now, I'm learning Torah in this beautiful Sviva with young women, Nashim Tikanios. But you know, in a few minutes from now, you're going to go to Malab Malka, and you might be sitting in Pizzola or Dave's or wherever you're going to go. And he's there as well. He's by your side. And tomorrow morning when you wake up, he's by your side. He's this Hoyve. This is a Rabbanu Shem that was, that will be, and that is. Amalek. You know, we're coming, we're preparing for Purim. We're going to get to talk about Adar, Mitzvah Shem, I know. But Amalek is the Koyach against the Yidden. Amalek is the Koyach against us, and specifically this time of the year, Parshas Zachor will be in a couple weeks. Amalek, when did Amalek come? It was the end of last week's parsha. When Bnei Yisrael said, Hayesh Hashem b'kerbeinu amayim, is God in our midst right now or not? Meaning they knew he was there. They saw the Tamakos. They saw the Kriyas Yamsuf. And they believed there's going to be Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash, but Hayesh Hashem b'kerbeinu is here right now. When they asked that question about God being there right now, that's when Amalek came. Amalek brings doubt to God's existence in the moment. So Amalek is Gematria Suffolk. Amalek is 240, which is Gematria Suffolk, doubt. Amalek says, you know, and that's the doubt that we deal with. Everyone in this room knows there was a Rebbeinu Shem that created the world. And everyone gets the chizik and knows when we're going through an Yisrael life, it's going to be good at that. There's going to be Tchis Meisim and there's going to be Gula. Where do we struggle in life? And where do I struggle with my Avodas Hashem? Like today. Yeah, I'll daven well on Purim and I daven well on Yom Kippur. But can I daven well today? Can I feel Hashem by my side now when I'm going through the Nisayon, when I'm going through the challenge? Now, right now. That's Amalek. Hayesh Hashem b'kebeinu mayim. Is he by my side? Doubt. We have suffering. That's why it is. You can't make this stuff up. Just listen. Amalek says, Hashem Malach, there was a God. Hashem Yimloch, there will be a God. He questions Hashem Melech right now. So if you take the gematria of Hashem Malach and Hashem Yimloch, I mean, not saying Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Melech, Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Malach, and Yudke Vavke, Yimloch, is gematria 242, exactly gematria, Be'amalek. That's what's inside Amalek. Amalek is Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, and Hashem Yimloch. But lacking, missing, Hashem Melech. By the way, it's so interesting. You ever think about it? Just something simple that we daven those words every single day. In Az Yashir, right? We know these words very well. You ever question? Hashem Melech is in the present tense. Hashem Malach is the past tense. Hashem Yimloch is the future. It's out of order. It should be Hashem Malach, Hashem was. Hashem Melech, Hashem is the king. Hashem Yimloch, Hashem will be the king. Because the essence and the most important is to know Hashem Melech. Hashem is king right now. And then we know, okay, he was and he will be. That even Amalek says. That even Amalek says. They can't deny there was a Kriyas Yamsuf. They can't deny there was 10 Makos. They just say, right now, he's not here. He left you alone. So Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch is gematria ba'amalek. Our avodah is to say Hashem is with me every moment. I am nothing without Hashem. There is only Hashem. And we have to believe that, and we have to know that. You know, there was a very big tzaddik that we lost this past week. There were three big tzaddikim that we lost this past week. Rav David Soloveitchik, Lezer Chadash Kadosh Baruch Hu, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Brisk. Brisk is one of the most top-level yeshivas in the entire world. He was the last child of the Brisker Rav, the grandson of Rav Chaim Brisker. It's a big loss. Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner, who was a Gadol Hadar, the Rashi of Kamenetz, who grew up in America, became a Gadol Hadar. I still remember, it's mamish ringing in my heart when he spoke, Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner, not this past Siyum HaShas, but two Siyum HaShas before. Meaning about Chvesnesh, 15 years ago. 8 years ago. Siyum HaShas last, right? We had Siyum HaShas last January, the one before that, about 8 years ago. And then we lost the tzaddiks who I assume those of us in this room probably connected to more. And not to compare and contrast, but on an individual level, because I can't imagine there's a person sitting in this room that didn't learn from him and grow from him, even if you've never met him. And I myself never met him, which was something I regret, and a mistake I made in my life not to make sure to meet him, because I probably could have, and knew people that were close with him. And I never just went out of my way to do it, and I should have. I have talmidim that he saved their lives. Rabbi Dr. Avram Twersky, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Baruch Hu. He was somebody that has literally probably saved thousands of lives. Thousands. And personally, he changed my life from his writings, from his svarim, from his incredible works, and I can't imagine there's anyone in this room who've never read anything by him. And if you haven't yet, you should start. His book on self-esteem, there's nothing better I've ever read. I remember I read years ago, I can't tell you how many people to read, Let Us Make Man. It's like Kodesh Kedoshim. His Sefer Mesil Shesharim, Lights Along the Way. I'm sure many of you have seen that over the years. Beautiful commentary. Sefer after Sefer. So he wrote a little about 10, 12 years ago, he probably wrote this. When he turned 80, it came out. He wrote an autobiography about his life so far to that point. It's called Gvura, right? Ben Shmoinim L'Gvura. It's an incredible book. You read story after story, you're just blown away by him, by his life. Such a keen understanding of human beings. He was a doctor, he was a massive psychiatrist, and opened a tremendous rehab. In addiction, he was world-renowned. Not in the Jewish world, in the world. One of the ways he taught, and one of the ways he uplifted us, in a very special way, similar to where he came from the Hasidic world that he came from the Baal Shem HaKadosh, who brought this idea back into the world, although the first one to teach us how to learn in this way was the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Just open up Sefer Bereishis. It's to learn through stories. And you read any of his books, it's full of incredible stories. Many of them Hasidic stories that he grew up on. And this one, it penetrates my life. I think about it all the time, and it's really just everything we're speaking about tonight. Hashem Melech. Hashem is my king. And Hashem is everything in my life. And He's by my side right now. You know what it is? If we can live such a life, if we can live a life where we really believe Hashem is with me now, not that He was and He will be, but He's with me now every moment, what simcha I have, what happiness I have, what my avodas Hashem will look like, what my tefillos will look like, what my Shabbos will look like. So listen to this story. I don't know if any, I happen to have read, I can't stop thinking about this particular story for some reason. It's past Thursday night to the Ben Shir, if anyone listened to that Shir, I quoted this story as well. As a disciple of the great Maggid of Mezrich, the Alter Rebbe had a question for which he sought the Maggid's elucidation. The Alter Rebbe was Rishner Zalman of Ladi, the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya went to his Rebbe, the Maggid of Mezrich. The Maggid of Mezrich was the biggest Talmud of the Baal Shem. And the biggest Talmud of the Maggid of Mezrich was the Baal HaTanya. So you can imagine the scene. The Baal HaTanya going to the Maggid of Mezrich. And it was a journey. It wasn't close. I don't know exactly at this point where he went in from, but I was zoichet to be by the kever of the Maggid of Mezrich in Annapolis, and I was zoichet to be by the kever of the Baal HaTanya in Haraj, and they're hours away from each other on a bus. If you're going by horse and buggy, it's a journey. He knocked on the Maggid's door, and when the Maggid asked who was there, the Alter Rebbe said, "It is I." The Maggid recognized the Alter Rebbe's voice and said, "Come in, Zalmanu." After the Maggid answered his question, he said to him, "For gesundheit, travel in good health, a blessing given to someone who is departing on a journey." The Alter Rebbe had no idea why he was being told to leave. And he came thinking he's going to not just come for a question. Once he's traveling all the way to his Rebbe, stay for a few days, learn from the Rebbe, shiur, whatever it might be, right? But as much as the Maggid had told him to go, he took his talis and tefillin and set out on the road with no idea where he was going or why. As he passed an isolated house in the countryside, he heard someone shout, Rabbi Yid, come here. You must be Elijah the prophet to appear here just now. We're going to have a bris here. We're only 9 people. We need a 10th person for a minyan." The Alter Rebbe complied with the request and joined the group. After the bris and festive meal was served, and the Alter Rebbe was invited to participate. When the meal was over, the hostess counted the silverware, and a silver spoon was missing. They immediately suspected the stranger was the thief. And they said to the Alter, they didn't know it was Alter Rebbe, "We are indebted to you for making a minyan for us, but that does not justify your stealing a spoon. If you're in need of money, we'll give you some, but you must return the silver spoon." "I did not take any silver spoon," the Alter Rebbe said. "Of course you did. We know all the people there. They're all our friends, whom we know to be honest. It could only be you." "No, it was not I." The people began to be rough with him. "Yes, it was you. Not I. They began beating him. "It was you. Not I. The beatings were so merciless that one of the hired kitchen workers could not bear to see an innocent person beaten any longer. And she admitted that she had taken the silver spoon. People apologized to the Alter Rebbe, who promptly forgave them. The Alter Rebbe then reasoned, "For some reason I deserved being beaten. And this was certainly the Maggid's reason for telling me to leave. Now that I received my punishment, I may return." When the Alter Rebbe returned, he was greeted by the Maggid, said to him, "Zalman, how many times did you have to say, 'Not I'? No human being may say, 'It is I.' Only Hashem may say, as in 10 commandments that we read this morning, 'I am your God.'" A person should efface oneself and not think of himself as I. So for the single time you said, "It is I," remember that's how he answered the door. You had to compensate for repeatedly saying, "Not I." What was the message the Maggid was giving the Baal HaTanya? There's no I. Life is me. And therefore I deserve, and I could decide what's going to be. When something's not going my way, I'm upset because it's I, it should be good. It's only Eibishter. The Eibishter is by my side. It's we, at best. The Eibishter is with me every moment. There's no I. It's not just me. Eibishter's here with us, and we have to believe it right now, at every moment, in the Hoive, Hashem Melech. How can we build this? How can we make sure? And that's how we're going to continue to grow. And that's how we take these last few days of Shvat and mamish exchange ourselves for the person we want to be and the person we should be. It's by knowing Hashem is by my side every moment. There's nothing more important. That's why it was, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. You know, we heard that from the Rabbeinu Shlomo himself. Most of the mitzvahs we heard from Moshe. Torah Tzivulana Moshe. Torah Gematria 611. Moshe taught us 611 mitzvahs. This is the Gemara Makos. The first two, believing in God, knowing there's God, knowing there's a Rabbeinu Shlomo by our side every moment, we heard from the Rabbeinu Shlomo, and we still feel it. We're still impacted by it. We're still shaking from it. Just open up your ears. And we have to believe that every day. I'll give you just a simple etzah. Every morning, wake up and say Moda'ani. And daven, let me say it better. And daven Moda'ani. Don't just say Moda'ani. So we roll out of bed. Moda'ani l'menachem l'chayim. No, no, just think about the words that you're saying in the morning and set your stage for Hashem Melech. Moda'ani l'fanecha melechai v'kayam shechazarta v'nishmasi. Thank you, Hashem, that you gave me back neshama. Meaning, I'm nothing without you. You decided to give me back my neshama today. Hoive, right now, today. That's awesome. Rabba Munatecha, we all know the famous Torah. And you believe in me so much. I'm with that. That we believe in Hashem. And Munasecha, your belief. Because you gave me my neshama today. But that's Hani. That's Hashem Melech. Today you're my Melech. Think about that every time we say Modani, my whole day is a different stage. Think about that every time we make a bracha. We make a bracha, bracha to Hashem. You are the source of a blessing today in my life. As Abu Droham explains. Hashem, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch. Hoyo hoy raviyya. I'm a different person. Just pay attention to those words. Just Moida'ani, my brachos, Hashem's with me every moment. My life is different. My life is different. Every moment is amazing. Hashem's with me. And yes, Hashem lives in the five towns, and Hashem lives in Teaneck, and Hashem lives in Queens, and Hashem lives in Brooklyn. And for whatever reason, this is where we have to be right now. It doesn't mean Hashem's not by my side every moment. But believe it and live it. You know what happens when you put Hashem Melech back? We said before, the gematria of Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimloch, was gematria of Be'amolech, right? But now let's put Hashem Melech back into the equation. Hashem Melech, Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimloch. So you add Hashem Melech, which is 116, to what we had already, 242. No, what do we have? What do we have? What's 242 plus 116? It's not that difficult. 358. Exactly Gematria Mashiach. Exactly Gematria Mashiach. You see, because it's when we say Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch, with Hashem Melech back in there. When we believe Hashem is by our side, that's when we zayich in Mashiach. Right now, behind them. Not just Hashem Malach, Hashem Yalach, He was and He will be. And that's, now we can understand what's going on by Yisro. What's Rashi saying? Ato Yadati! Yisro says, now I know. Yeah, what does Rashi say? Makiri Yisid Lisha Alvar. I already recognized God in the past. Hashem Malach. I saw what He did in the past. However, what? The Achshav B'Yoyser. Now, the Achshav now. Much more so. It's much greater to believe in Him in the present. Now. Which letter is the letter that represents the now? It's the Vav. Right? Yud, the Yud and the He is Yiyya in the future. He is Hoya was. Hoive has to have the Vav in it. The Vav of Yud Ke Vav Ke represents the now. What does Rashi say at the beginning of the parasha? What was Yisro's real name? We had a lot of names, but this name that we call him was really Yeser. Was really Yeser, right? What letter did we add to his name? Vav, Yisro. Vav is the Vav of Hoiva, of Hoya Hoiva V'Yia. Vav is the Vav that was saying, I believe in the Rebbeinu Shel now. Atu Yadati. So he gained that Vav.
Shavisi Hashem Anagi Samir.
First words of the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. Know that Hashem is opposite me every single moment. The Farshim, they say you're supposed to envision Yud Kei Vav Kei in front of you. Because you're supposed to envision that He was, He is, and He will always be right now. And even when it's lenegdi, even when it seems opposite me, even when it doesn't seem like it's going my way, it doesn't seem like it's what should be happening. It's been a difficult year. Everyone in this room can talk about tragedies. And it's challenges. Some of them very, very real. And some of them on a personal level very real. It's been lenegdi. Does that negate that it was Hashem and Hashem is Melech and it's all good? Now, we have to believe that. We don't know anything. But when I know Hashem Melech, I know it's all good and I'll serve Hashem with all my heart and soul because He's right there by my side. We can never forget that. I'm just thinking, I don't want to get into the details. Why? But earlier today, I was just thinking that I don't know if I shared the story with the Chevra before. I know I shared it once, but I think it was by a men's share. But you know, about a year ago now, a year ago now, I had a car that was giving me like a lot of trouble. It was a gift from my in-laws. It was a 2004 Honda Accord that I had for... They gave it to me maybe 2007, 2008. They drove it for like 3-4 years. And then when they got a new car, they gave it to me. But at that point, it was a 3-4-year-old car. It was a very beautiful Matana from them. And I had it for a long time. I had it from about 2007, 2008. So a year ago, it was January 2020, right? And over the years, especially towards the end, it started having issues. That's what happens with cars, right? And then I hit a point where I was just putting too much money into it. I knew it's not worth it. You know, my wife was already enough is enough. Already a year before that. But finally, it was like something was going on. I knew it was about to die. Something was going to happen. And I said, okay, when the car dies now, I'm not putting any more money in it. That's it. And I'll figure it out. I have to lease something. I have to get something new. Whatever. But it's still running. When does it die? It dies, so it was an unfortunate situation, although it led to, obviously, unfortunate situation that led to bracha and simcha, as these do. But I was dealing with someone I was very close to who was getting divorced. And I was going to go with this Talmud of mine to give the get to his wife, to be by his side. It was in February last year, mamish 1 year ago now. And this Beis Din in Queens, unfortunately I've dealt with a few times. And it was zoo. We had an appointment for like 3 o'clock, so I was going to pick him. I told him, he's here in the Five Towns, I'll pick him up at 2 o'clock, 2:15, and we'll drive and be there by his side and have to give the get to his wife. And I was in DRS teaching till then, at a halacha class that just ended. I get into my car, that's the time the car dies, it won't start. That's the time, of all the times the car's going to die. I don't know if I needed it more at that time than in the past 5 years before that. And I'm thinking about this is the time, Rabbi Nishalom, this guy, you know, you can't be late for that. You know what I'm saying? It's just not nice and not right. I'm like, this is the time. Okay. So I saw someone, another faculty member was leaving, a close friend, and I asked him, could you at least take me to this guy's house? I get to the house, I get to the door, I say, listen, I'm here. But I don't have a car. This young man, unfortunately, for whatever reason, his license was suspended. He didn't pay some tickets, so he couldn't drive. The two of us. He said, okay, we're going to have to Uber. I don't know, we'll figure it out. He says, no, Revy, I have a car that's been sitting in front of the house over here for like 6 months. I don't know, basically 6 months. Now, let me call my parents. Maybe you could use it. You'll drive that car. It was a 2015 Honda Accord, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So you could drive that car, and then we'll get there. So he calls his father. Of course, tell her to go and take the car. And Baruch Hashem, we get there. Again, it's obviously a hard afternoon, but it went as smoothly as could have gone. And then I get back, and I'm dropping him off, and I say, okay, I called my wife. No, he called his father. He says, tell her to go and just borrow the car until, for the meantime being that his car died. You'll figure it out. We're not using it now anyways. That was February. And then March came and the whole world, as we know, was flipped upside down. It was what it was. And I still had the car. Mama Taka wasn't even using it much. But I kept calling them, you know, do you need it back? Do you need it back? No. Keep it. Hold on to it. You'll figure it out. So I figured at least, you know what, it'll be a big help if I could hold on to it till June, because in the summer I don't really need a car. And that way I'll figure out if I could, as long as I kept on calling to make sure I didn't need it, but as long as I didn't need it, I'll borrow it till June, and then I'll give it back. And that way, and then September I'll have to get a new car, figure it out. So that was my plan. I mean, I didn't exactly tell them this plan exactly, but that was the way I kept on calling them. They kept on saying, no problem, they're wonderful, wonderful, very special people. And then in the summer, they call me, and they say, listen, you know, we know you didn't get a new car yet, you need the car. This car, really, we realized, they owned it, it wasn't a lease. We're not doing anything with it, nobody needs it by us. We want to give you the car, keep the car. And it was so beautiful and so wonderful, and it was such a big help, obviously. And that's the car that I'm driving. That's the car that I'm driving. And I realized after, you know, the Eibishter knew the exact moment that car should die. Like, I thought it's the worst moment that car could have died, because I needed that car more than anything at that moment. But the Eibishter had a plan. The Eibishter of Hashem Melech at that moment in the Hoyeva was, I want your car to die right now, because otherwise these people would never have known of this. You would never ask. You would never bring yourself to ask for such a thing in a million years. And you all set it up so that this should be able to be done. Hashem Melech, right there in that moment. No question. And we have to believe this in every moment in our life. Hashem is by our side. Even sometimes, here, Baruch Hashem, I was able to see the end. And see the end of the movie, right? Sometimes we're only living in the middle. We don't get this. We're not privy to the end. We don't know the Hashem Yimloch. And we don't even know the Hashem Malach of him. But Hashem Melech, you have to believe he's by our side every moment. He's always here. And with that, I could exchange myself into a different person towards the end of this Shvat and prepare for Adar. And that's what Adar is as well. What is the great Simcha of Adar? Mishnichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. We're going to increase our Simcha. We're going to enhance our Simcha. I don't know yet how much is going to change by the time Purim comes around. I don't know what your Purim Suddas are going to look like. Everybody, again, I'm not going to get political and get into who is taking this seriously now and who's not taking it seriously now, and to each their own. Everybody has to respect each other a lot more than we do. That's all another tire for another time. I'm going to start that because I'll keep you here all night. It gets me very upset about the machloikis in Klal Yisrael more than anything else. Honestly, more than anything else, that's what upsets me about this whole thing. But I don't know what's going to be. I mean, how about that? We have to believe this will all pray. By Purim time, we'll all be back to normal Purim. And it could happen if you believe that. I don't know what's going to be. But I know if I have an attitude of Hashem Melech, it's the biggest simcha. Mishnichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. You know what Adar stands for? Aleph Dar. Aleph is the Eibishter. Aleph is the first letter of creation. It's the closest point of creation to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Aleph represents Hashem Echad. It's Echad. It's one. Aleph is Hashem. Aleph Dar. Adar is Aleph Dar. Hashem is Dar, is residing, is living. Is with me every single moment. That's what Adar is. Adar is this realization, this recognition, this defeat of Amalek, of Hashem, Malach and Hashem Yimloch, which is Be'amalek, defeated with Hashem Melech. That's what Adar is. That's Mishenichmas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. To know that Hashem is always with me, when He's revealed and when He's hidden. That's why it is, you know, it's interesting. If you look in the, that's, you know, we, those words, Mishnichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha, they're not just a song. It's a Gemara. It's a Chazal. It's Torah. It's Torah that we have to increase our joy. It's a Gemara in Tainis Dav Chavtes. You know what Rashi says? Something very strange, yet very interesting. You know where the Simcha comes from? Look at Rashi there if you want. You can look it up. Ask your fathers and your brothers to help you. Tainis Chavtes.
Mishnechnas Adar Marvin Besimcha.
Rashi says on the bottom, Minisi shall Purim, from the miracles of Purim. That's what we think he would say. That makes sense, right?
But then he ends a very strange word.
Upesach. From the miracles of Purim and Pesach. From the miracles of Purim and Pesach, we increase our joy in Adar. Last time I checked, Pesach's in Nisan. What is he talking about? Why is Rashi talking about Pesach?
So one thing you could learn is you're supposed to continue this extended, heightened level of Simcha into Nisan, perhaps.
You know what I believe he means? Pesach is revealed miracles. Pesach is Gilui Shechina, the splitting of the Yam Suf, is 10 Makos. Purim is all hidden miracles. We all know that, Tara.
The ultimate Simcha is when you know when it's revealed, when it's hidden, it's all the Rabbon Hashem. Hashem is always by my side.
That's when I could be the Simcha. If I'm waiting for the big Simcha, and I'm waiting for the Gilui Shechina, and I'm waiting for big revelations, and I'm waiting for Purim, and for Pesach, and for Yom Kippur, to be with God, I'm not going to be b'simcha always. Mishnech was adar b'ar b'simcha b'purim u'pesach. From the combination. I know there's times when he's revealed, I know there's times when he's hidden. You know what he is? But he's always. He's Hashem Melech. He's always by my side. Before, during, after. Aleph Dar. Even in the Esther, in the hidden. That's what Esther stands for. You know what Esther stands for? In a deeper way.
Obviously it was her name.
But her name was also Hadassah.
Why do we focus on her name Esther? Why not her name Hadassah?
Why is that the name? First of all, because of that it means Hester, which is hidden, to see God in the hidden ways, as we all know. But the Rashi Tevos also stands for something.
Esther is Aleph, Saif, Toich Rosh.
The Aleph, which we just explained, is Aleph Dor Hashem.
Soif at the end, in the Yimloch, in the future.
In the Rosh, in the beginning.
And in the Soif, in the middle. I'm sorry, in the Aleph, Soif, Toich, in the Toich, in the middle.
In the midst.
Soif, Toich, Rosh. At the end, in the middle, at the beginning. Hoya, hoya, v'viyya.
That's Esther. Aleph Dor. That's the Simcha of our lives.
You know, what are we looking at as the biggest of simchas? The biggest simchas. Biggest simchas, we look at marriage. If you think about a simcha, you think about a chasana, what bigger simchas is there than a chasana? Shatayva by every single one of you. Right time with the right person. And I'll never forget when I was engaged and had a shmooze with my Rebbe, Reb Mendel Blachman Shlita. We were together. I drove him somewhere in the whole car ride in the car bag. It was about 3 hours. For those 3 hours, he was giving me hadracha, he was giving me etza, he was teaching me about what it is to be a husband, what it is to be a father, what it is to be married. It's a whole new world. And I'd say 2 out of the 3 hours, he focused on the more difficult times in the marriage. When things are not going so smoothly. Which is part of life. And how to handle them, and how to deal with them in the proper way. You know, so too is our marriage to the Rabbona Shalom. Anila doidi v'doidi li. So sometimes it's so clear, and it's revealed, and things are going great, and it's amazing. But in those difficult times, those moments where my avodah Hashem is not where it should be, or there are challenges, and there's yisurim that we're going through that are really strong, our marriage has to be unbreakable. Because I know Hashem Melech, Hashem's right there by my side. I might not understand it all, I might not see it all, but He's right there by my side. So Mir Hashem, over these last few days of Shvat, let's do that Temura that the Pasuk spoke about, which is the Pasuk of Shvat. Let's exchange ourselves in the proper way who we want to be and who we can be. And how so? By knowing Hashem Melech. By knowing, like Yisro, I tell you that now. Not just Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimloch, Hashem Melech, Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimloch. To live such a life of Hoiva in the moment. See it always. Elevate every aspect of my life. And then we'll be Zaycha, not just to the Simcha Vader of Aleph Dar. Not just that Simcha which Halavai we should all have in the biggest of ways. but also will be Zeicha to Hashem Melech, Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimloch, L'Aved, Gematria 358, Gematria of Mashiach, Bekarov, Biyameinu, Bekarov, Mamish. I wish you have a good Vach, a beautiful week. We'll continue soon. Hashem.